Don't just go through life, grow through it. Hi, and welcome to the Grow Through It podcast with Fee Deng. My name is Fee, and I am a human design life coach known as the Positivity Queen, and author of The Great Unlearning, Awakening to Living an Aligned and Authentic Life. Join me as I discuss all things mindset, self-love, energy, and purpose, which are the four pillars of my Soul Revolution coaching methodology. This podcast won't just inspire and motivate, it will also provide practical tips and strategies you can implement in your daily life. Ready to grow? Let's grow. Hi, beautiful souls. On today's episode, we have Sammy Purdy, who has done one-to-one coaching with me for 6 months and is a human design women's mindset coach. Sammy is a 6-2 role model hermit manifesting generator with an emotional authority. Welcome to the podcast, Sammy.
Thank you for having me. And I am honestly just so honored to be here. Like, I was jumping around the house when you asked me to be on this podcast because it's like you truly inspire me so much. And I remember listening to your podcast from the very start and listening to all of the episodes in like a week. And I just like feel so, so grateful and so honored to be here.
Oh my heart. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm so grateful for you. And I feel like the universe and spirit really brought us together, because I know when how we kind of came across each other, you came across my page and you had this feeling, you booked a call. So yeah, that talks a lot to like the gut and intuition, which I'd love for you to kind of share more about your journey, because I think as anybody spiritual, it's so hard to initially connect to your intuition and to your gut.
It's such a strange thing. I can't even really remember how I come across you. It was so random. And this is the beautiful part about trusting that intuition, because it was just like, okay, I feel like listening to a couple of episodes. And then I just really felt your energy. And that's a big piece for me now, is realizing that we just feel people's energy so much. And it just makes such a big impact before you even look at, you know, the social media and all these other parts of it. So I come across you so randomly, and I remember looking on your page and I was feeling really lost, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to book a free call and see how I feel. And we had this conversation and I felt lit up. And as a manifesting generator, that's literally what I'm here to do. And so you really helped to teach me to really lean into that as well. And so yeah, I remember going for a walk after our call, and because this was one of the first investments that I sort of made in myself, and I was unsure, and I just asked for guidance and for signs, and I literally got shown those signs straight away. And nothing is a coincidence in life. And yeah, then we just started working together, and it was just so perfectly timed. And yeah, you come into my life at the right time, and it was so beautiful and divine.
I love that. And I think people forget that you can ask for signs, you can ask for guidance. Like, we think we're at that mercy of that. And yeah, I think, you know, obviously, like, you're a coach now, and I think a lot of people are scared to invest in themselves. What was your journey like to overcome that? Because obviously there's like financial things, it's like the commitment. Like, what have you kind of found in your own personal journey, and when you talk to potential people too?
I feel like the biggest piece is building that evidence for myself, but also realizing is that we invest our money in so many other things. And I previously was a beauty therapist, so I met lots of women that invested thousands of dollars in the way that they looked on the outside. And what I noticed was there was still those cracks showing of how they felt about themselves on the inside. And so I started to realize that it was so important to actually prioritize where we're investing our money. And I think it's this thing of like, well, we don't want to invest in our personal development in case it doesn't work out. Whereas beauty, you know, you're going to get your eyelashes on and you're going to look good afterwards. So it's, again, I think it was this, for me, it was building this evidence, but also just leaning into the trust, following that intuition of, okay, does this person makes me feel really good. We feel really aligned, and I can see the potential and where they can take me. And it's also, I think, working between having a coach and yourself, it's like, if I'm going to be as much dedicated in the process as they are, then we're going to be able to take it so far. So investing in yourself is just, it's a process, and you sort of take the first step. And I'd taken a couple of little steps of just investing small amounts of money here and there and small amounts of my time here and there. And I realized is that you can never fail in it. Even if it doesn't give you exactly what you think you wanted out of it, you're always going to learn something throughout that process about yourself. So yeah, I hope that kind of makes sense and clears it up. But yeah, that's sort of my process.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And you kind of mentioned like you're a beauty therapist, because when we met, you were doing lashes and now you're in your own business, you're doing coaching. So I'd love for you to kind of share about that transition and your journey and what really inspired you to like pursue coaching.
Yeah, so obviously I worked with a lot of women being in the lash industry. And what I realized is that it could only take me so far. You know, we'd have the conversations in the lash sessions, but I realized that it wasn't my full potential. And I always have had this passion and drive for beauty. But what I started to realize is that I become more excited about the inner beauty. So I started my own lash business, being told in school that, you know, you should probably look at studying something else because beauty's not really a career. And I just challenged that and went, well, you know what, I'm going to create it into a career. And I did. And it was very successful. And it brought me a lot of joy and happiness. And this is the thing as well that people should really know is that if something brings you joy and happiness in the moment, then go for it. But if it no longer brings you that joy and happiness, it doesn't mean anything about you as a person or that your skills or anything like that. It's just that you're growing and evolving and you're changing. There was things that I had to move through with that process of going, but I'm really good at it and people love me and it's really successful. Like I should probably just stay in that because it's what I'm known for. But I just, it was like this little piece of me was missing. And awareness is such a huge part, because the more aware that we can be of how we're feeling. And what I noticed is I noticed the frustration. And in design, that is like my clear signpost of like something's not quite in alignment anymore. And so, yeah, I noticed I was feeling a lot of frustration in my lash business, you know, clients canceling, not being able to have the full in-depth conversations that I wanted to, and it was just bringing me a lot of frustration. So that's when I kind of met you, and I said to you, like, I don't know what I want to do. I remember there was a lot of confusion, wasn't there? It was like, I don't know what I want to do, but I know I want to do something. And I just couldn't figure that out. But I had to really start connecting in with my body and becoming in tune with what it was that I really needed, what was going to align with my values and what was going to bring me that fulfillment. So that's when I sort of, we started working together to sort of get clear on what it is that you want to create. And I think a big piece that we moved through a lot together was this idea of needing to have, you know, have gone to uni or have like all the qualifications to be able to step into a role. And in the end, I kind of just ended up creating my own role, my own business, my own, you know, it wasn't, I wouldn't sit there and go, oh, I'm a psychologist or I'm a naturopath. It was like, I'm just me, and I get to share that with the world. So yeah.
Oh, I really love that so much, because it's so true to manifesting generators, right? Like not wanting to be boxed in, having different things. But I think we also have so many like labels in society, and we kind of like feel that pressure. And, you know, what I really hear is like everybody goes through that mourning process of like this person that you thought you were and this like life that you had. And I think a lot of people listening would be like, oh, like I'm scared to leave because of like the money and the like financial struggle. How do you think your money mindset's changed, and what's been really key to kind of going more into that abundance mindset when, you know, you're running a business, you have like consistent money, you're changing something, there's no guaranteed, it's all new, it's scary.
I sort of almost laugh at this comment now because it was something that we worked on so much.
Yeah.
And it was a big piece for me, because I was someone that was very much in my masculine. So I was the provider, the doer, the supporter. You know, I felt, and I'm a mum as well. And so when I become a mum, I felt like I was inadequate because I wasn't showing up as the provider anymore, because I wasn't financially providing. And it took a long time for me to realize that that wasn't my truth. And the finance part was a huge, and to be honest, the way that I moved through my finances was being okay with earning nothing. When I started the business, I actually had to go, are you in it for the bigger game? Because if you're in it for the bigger game, are you willing to make small sacrifices now that will take you there? So my first 2 months of business, I pretty much didn't make any money, but my relationship with money was so much, we were so much more connected that I always had that trust that, okay, I'm going to make the money. And now I'm running my first program and it's almost sold out. So money is a funny one, but I realized that that money was just an energy. And it was, for me, money and energy, I would avoid money. I would not look at my bank account. I would not want to talk about it. And again, it's this fear of us talking about our money situations. It's like talking about sex.
Yeah. The two most important things in life, money and sex, and we don't want to talk about it.
I know. And I just remember feeling very inspired by you and seeing your potential and where you could take your business and trusting in that. And I feel like with my lash business, I hit a wall. Like I hit that threshold where it was like, okay, I've done as much as I can. And I feel like now I need to go on to the next adventure to be able to expand myself even more. So the biggest thing with money is actually just having the trust that it will always come back to you. And every time I invested in myself, money come back to me in the strangest ways too. It would have been like, you know, with our rental, we're getting kicked out eventually because they're knocking it down, and then we got given $4,000 as like compensation, and then we got given 3 months free rent. And this was all in the time where I was making some big financial moves for my business. And every time I was like, okay, I'm going to surrender to this and I'm going to invest in myself because it's important, money always come back to me. And I really like have that belief now. And every time I do it, it's like, oh, I'm going to invest in this. And then another client's like, oh, I want to come work with you one-on-one. I'm like, beautiful, there's the money. It's like releasing this need to hold on to it, I think is really, really important.
Yeah, that whole concept of like surrendering and letting go. And I think you really touched on the point about self-worth. You know, we make our money about us. And, you know, at some stages, we're even talking about our business and like, how does that kind of play into like your self-worth journey and really like building that? Because I think it's so strong and powerful. I think a lot of people listening be like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, like if I don't make money, what does that mean about myself? And being more in that masculine energy. And I'm sure in your journey, you've gone through a lot of like identity deaths and rebirths as well.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing is like what I've really changed is the meanings that I put on things now. You know, a client says no to working with me, it doesn't mean anything about me. I lose a little bit of money, it doesn't mean anything about me. It doesn't mean that I'm not worthy of having money. And so self-worth is something that you and I definitely worked through together. And it was a big piece that I struggled with. And I remember saying like, I don't actually know how to have self-worth. How do you even get it? Like, why do so many people struggle with it? And it was, it was taking almost these risks where I was able to strengthen the relationship and trust with myself that I could take myself places and never giving up, even though there's been so many times, especially over the last 3 months, of wanting to give up. There's been many, 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 many times. And every time I just tell myself, like, you can do this. You've been through all of these challenges before. And it's like every new level that we get to, there's always more challenges that come with that. So yeah, it's almost the surrendering to that, the fact that it's a process and a journey, and it's not, you don't ever just get to this space one day and it all stops. It's a forever evolution. And so I really lean into that now. And really, yeah, when it comes to business, just trusting in that. And for me, the biggest piece was that I had to actually just allow there to not be an income. That was the biggest piece for me. And I know everyone does it so differently. But I had the choice. Like with my lash business, I was working 4 days a week, and I had the choice of I could just cut my days down to 2 days a week and I can do both. But what was the problem was that I had my energy half in and half out. It was almost like I was saying to the universe, like, I'm kind of in, but I'm kind of out. Like, once give me what I want, then maybe I'll change. And I had to have that almost conversation with myself of like, okay, are you actually so ready to go all in on yourself? And are you okay with the fact that it may not work out? Are you okay with the fact that it might not work out in the way that you want it to or how you expect it to? Are you willing to take these small sacrifices now for the bigger game? And that's what I decided to do. I decided to just shut my successful lash business down. That was my solid income. It was, I knew I was getting paid every week. I had to choose to take that sacrifice. And to be honest, in those 3 months, I have noticed less stress in my finances versus when I was earning money versus to not earning money.
And it's probably because of like the way you're going about it. Because I always say to people, it's like new level, new devil. Like it never stops. And I think it's reminding people like everything's always happening for our growth and our expansion. Like, with a lot of people, I say to them, like, imagine you started a business and it was immediately successful. Like, you don't learn anything in life that way. And even if you did, it's like the bar is set so high that you're just going to fall and go and navigate through all of these things that can be quite like a tough journey to go through.
And you learn so much more in your shadows than you do when life's perfect. There have been many, many challenges that I've been through in my life. And what I've realized now is that I have learned so much more about myself in those moments of struggle. Because when you're in those moments of struggle and hard times, you've got to figure out a way to move through it. And it's not even a moment of like, everyone wants to get out of it. It's like, I just want to get out of my emotion. I want to get out of where I am. I just want to numb out. I want to go on my phone, or I want to take drugs. I want to drink alcohol. I just don't want to be here right now. But the only way to really actually do it is to go through it. And so every time I've had these moments, these hard times, and this grief, I know now that for me to really move through this is to go through it and allowing those processes to happen and allowing myself to evolve and change. Like who I was yesterday is not who I am today.
Yeah, and I think that's because we both also have that open identity center in human design. So our environment is everything. And anytime you kind of see that open identity center, it's like not clinging to one path and one way because it is always evolving. Like it's funny how we don't think we'll evolve and we'll like be the same person, but it's actually like, yeah, you might not be the same as you were yesterday.
And as a Mani Gen as well, like that has been the biggest permission slip for me to actually allow myself to change and evolve. Because before I was trying to keep myself stuck. And as well, like being a six profile, I always told myself, like, you have to just get a steady career. You have to pick the one job. And once you pick that, that's your life for the rest of your life. But people that have a six in their profile, like their life comes in three stages. And so I really surrender to that process now of allowing myself to change. And I think it's really where the magic happens because there's just like this excitement all the time for life because it's like, what's next? Instead of going like, I've just got to settle in this place right now. And that's what I did with my lash business. I settled. And when we first started working together, I was like, oh, should I just settle in this business that I know is just, it's steady. It's a steady income. It's safe. And
Yeah,
he doesn't always take us where we want to go.
and safety also doesn't make us happy. Like it makes us feel settled and calm, but it doesn't actually give us happiness. And what I really love, because I think you're like the epitome of that 6-2, which is like leading the way and really trusting and knowing like you don't need certifications or anything like that. Like so much comes from your life experience. And I think something that I really observe in you is like that zooming out, which people forget, like very caught on the details, but it's like that bigger vision and all of that purpose that really like comes together as well.
Because it's not about the product, it's about the process. It's not about the creation, it's about the energy that creates it. And it's been a it's changed my life since being able to have that perspective, because I had also been told in the past that like my big picture thinking was what made me a bit of a dreamer. Your head's up in the clouds all the time. You sort of need to ground yourself. But I feel like that is actually a part of my power, is that I'm able to have that perspective on life. And through that perspective is how I guide my clients. And you were a great teacher in when I first started working with you. I felt like I had to have all these qualifications and I had to have everything written down. And what I've realized in my mentoring now is when the best way for me to lead these people is just through my intuition. And sometimes with the two as well in my profile, I can't always explain that. And I really allow myself to lead with my intuition without feeling like I've got to explain myself to people.
I think that's so hard about intuition because I'm sure, like yourself and many clients, they're like, how do I deepen that trust and practice? Is there anything that you do yourself or share with clients to really like build that strength and confidence in your intuition?
So I definitely have a lot more time alone now. In the past, I found this need for being distracted a lot. And I think that's why a lot of us struggle with connecting with our intuitions, because we don't have enough quiet time and enough rest. And when I say rest, I don't mean, sitting in front of the TV watching Netflix. I mean, maybe laying out in the sun. And it feels weird at first. Sometimes I'll just go lay outside in the sun instead of sitting on my phone. And it feels weird at first to just lay there and not do anything. And it's hard in this world because I feel like we're so used to doing something. And I still find myself doing it sometimes, but finding myself just allowing myself to have some time alone to be quiet, eventually the mind chatter kind of stops. And then that's when you start to feel the intuition. But another part of it is just really leaning into when I feel that guidance, or if I hear something, I will just actually lean into that. And most of the time, it's always right. And again, trusting in that gut response as well. Like, we know in our gut what the right answer is, but we've been so taught to make decisions with our mind first. And I feel like often our mind lies to us. So yeah, definitely through meditation processes, even some movement like dancing, journaling, connecting in with my cards as well. Like, I feel like you don't have to be like fully psychic to have a deck of cards. Like, I think sometimes it's nice to have a deck of cards and just to ask a question, see what comes out, and look at the card and go, okay, what does this mean to me? Look at the meaning and like look at the pictures and see what that might actually, what it feels to you as well. And another piece is like really connecting in with the feelings. I feel like a lot of my intuition is like very feelings based, which I have an emotional authority, so makes sense. But yeah, very much like leaning into the feelings. It's like, you walk into a room and you have that instant feeling of the vibe in the room. Like, we've been taught that we don't trust that, but it's always right. It's building the evidence again.
I can't stop smiling because I just remember your journey, like when we first started working together, being in that masculine energy, and for you to come be like, oh, it's very important to like feel into your feelings and doing the movement. Like, I remember it was like so much resistance. And I found like, I just remember that when we were first starting to talk to each other, and I was like saying in your human design, like that channel of community, and I was like, I swear you're going to run women's circles. And I know that you do in South Australia. So it's like, I think so many women like struggle with that concept. And it's, I think like when you say like building that evidence, it like really weaves in the masculine and feminine in an integrated way. Because I think nowadays people get too lost in like, oh, I need to be like super feminine or I'm like super masculine. And we've kind of like lost that balance. And I think also as women, there's like such a big wounding about competition, whether it's beauty and success. And like, how do you come from that journey to like now holding space for women and, collaborating and all of the things that we want to see as women,
And I think like this is a big thing that I teach when I mentor women, is that we need to build the foundations first. And for me, the foundations is your self-worth, your self-love, and your self-trust. Because if you've got all three of those things, Nothing can break you down. And if you're building, trying to build a house, and you're building all these beautiful manifestations and all these things on top, and your foundation's wonky, it's all just going to fall down. And for me, going through the process of giving birth and becoming a mum, I lost my entire identity. I didn't know who I was anymore. And I was really resistant to moving into becoming a new woman. It was this, you know, you've got to get your old body back, or you've got to get your old life back. And there was so much resistance for about 10 months. And when I started to surrender to, okay, this is a time for me to actually rebuild myself, that's when life actually changed so much for me. And so being stripped back of everything that I knew, all the parts of myself that I thought I was, I had to find myself again. And through that was where I started to build the self-worth, self-love, and self-trust. Because if you've got those three things, like, nothing can shake you. Like, you could be given all these different opportunities and you'll take them, because it's like, well, I trust myself enough to know that if it doesn't work out, I'm not going to beat myself up about it, and I'm going to learn something from it. And so I feel like those three pieces can just take you so far. So that's what I teach people, because I feel like if we can't build those three things first, there's not much point building things on top of it, because it's not, for me, it's all about creating a life that's sustainable. And so we can manifest, you know, the nicest house in the world, but if we don't have those pieces there, it's not going to be sustainable for us for our lives.
The trusting is such a big thing for us two profile lines, isn't it? Trusting in our gifts, like trusting in life, like surrendering. And I remember, like, one moment in coaching was when your son Archie was like, couldn't stop crying and wouldn't go to sleep. And you were telling me, you're like very frustrated. And I'm like, what does it feel like to just lean in and just accept and be like, yep, like it's all good. And then through that process, obviously he actually like stopped crying. It was the kind of like teaching that masculine element within you, within your motherhood, to like almost give into the flow and be like, okay, like how do I have more love and compassion? Because it's almost like a mirror, like our children can be a mirror and learning more about ourselves. Wouldn't you agree?
Yep. And he's very, his chart's very feminine. And so he's a bit of an opposite to me. And so he challenges me in so many ways. And that's why when I first started my business, it was called Healing Through Motherhood, because I feel like there's so much healing that we do when we become a mum. It's definitely a choice as well. Like, some people don't surrender to that process, but the sooner that you can surrender to the process and see our children as our greatest teachers, it just shows you so much. And yeah, like, he sleeps through the night now and he does not wake up crying, and he feels my energy so much. Like, our days can look very different depending on the way that I show up in my energy. So he's honestly just my greatest teacher. And yeah, I just remember that experience. I remember sending you a voicemail and being like, I surrendered and he's been sleeping through the night. So I don't think we realize our true potential and the true power that we have in our lives. And again, like, for someone that's been so much in a masculine and so wanting to control, I've almost realized that I'm actually more powerful in my feminine and in surrendering than I am being in control.
Yeah. What do you think's been like the biggest thing that being a mother has kind of taught you that maybe was like unexpected? Because, you know, I have a few friends that are pregnant right now with their first child, and it's kind of like, you can never be prepared. Like, even if you go to all the classes and you work, like, I think the whole experience and being thrown into it, and I think it'd be so interesting for you to share because of that six profile line and being a role model and through your own experiences as well. And because you're in that first stage and you're like kind of halfway through, like, how does it feel to be like a mother and learning all of the things?
I think the biggest thing, again, that I've learned is the piece of surrendering, because our children are so wild. They want to do what they want to do, and it's also a learning of how can we actually allow them to have their own processes without us putting our expectations onto them. And that's a hard one, because we hold these expectations, and then we actually, as parents, we grieve, because we grieve the idea of who we thought they were going to be. And so the biggest piece that's made it easier being a parent is actually surrendering to the fact that My son is his own soul and he's here on his own journey. And I'm here to guide him and to support him and love him, but I'm not here to actually create him. He gets to do that all on his own. So I can just give him these beautiful tools to support him. But 100%, I am just his role model. I am here to just embody who I'm here to be, and that's enough. And that again, when it comes back to the self-worth and the self-love and the self-trust, if we want our children to have those things for themselves, we have to have it for ourselves first. Because our children don't listen to us, they watch us, they see how we act, how we speak to other people, and how we speak to ourselves. So I feel like for me, I don't put this pressure on myself anymore of looking like a certain parent. I just know that by caring for myself, then I'm caring for my son. Because it's the even I see so much still is this idea of like, oh, mama, if you've just given up your all today, then you're the best mama. And it's like we forget this piece of how important it is for us to also care for our needs. Because what we're role modeling to our child then is that we don't care for our needs. And then they're going to be raised in an environment where they become like a people pleaser, or they allow people to walk all over them. They don't care for their needs. So for me now, it's like if I actually just take care of myself to the fullest and I fill my cup up, then that's how I'm able to fill my son's cup up.
Yeah, and I think that's something that you see with parents, like that guilt as well, like putting yourself first. But it's absolutely right in what you're saying, like you're also role modeling for your children. And I think it's like that concept, like our children's souls, like they pick us to be their guide for whatever reason, and we're here to help them, and then they help us as much in what we see in them. And I think something that a lot of people don't talk about is perhaps being like triggered by your own child. And
Oh, yeah.
getting and feeling like, oh, I have to like love my child all the time, and but I can't be triggered, and you kind of feel like this frustration and guilt kind of feeling as well.
Yeah. And I get triggered all the time. Like, I'd be lying if I said I didn't get triggered. But what I now am aware of is I notice, like, okay, this is triggering me and why? Like, recently I noticed that when he gets really emotional, it triggers me because he's a very emotional child. And I'm like, why does this trigger me so much? And for me, it was because I was never fully safe in expressing my full range of emotions. So it triggers me because it's like, who are you to take up space and to fully feel your emotions? And as toddlers, they do. You feel the full range of their emotions, and it triggers, it makes me want to retreat. It makes me want to shut down. And so it's, yeah, this beautiful realization that he's not being naughty. He's not going, oh, mum's annoying me today, I'm just going to be naughty. He's trying to process his emotions. And we shut children down for processing their emotions. And then we become adults and we go, I don't know how to process my emotions. And it's because we were shut down for them.
Yeah, and I think it's also triggering when you are more like self-aware and you have this consciousness knowing, like when you grew up, maybe like you weren't allowed and it was looked down upon to feel all of your emotions. So it's almost like rewriting that story for your child and being like, hey, you know what? You can feel your emotions. And that's also like healing for ourselves as well. And how do you find the experience? Because we're both emotional authorities, and I'm like, oh, it's a ride. Like there is a lot to go through. And I think it's really healing when you find out like, oh, I'm actually built to be emotional. I'm actually built to have mood swings. I'm actually built to be sensitive. Like it seems like to me, like observing your life, like you've got the emotional authority, like your son is really emotional. Like what's like been your journey into like feeling the feelings and riding those waves?
It's definitely been a journey, and it's probably something I've only given myself permission to do in the last maybe 6 months. Because as I've spoken to you before, my dad took his life in 2022, and he was always a very, very emotional person. I'd be interested to know his human design chart. But very emotional. And so growing up as a kid, I saw emotions as a weakness. I saw it as almost something to sort of fear. I had like two ranges of emotions from my mum's side of being like very like angry, and then my dad's side being like very soft. And so for me, it was that's why I sort of moved more into my masculine energy, because there was this it was scary to be emotional. And so then understanding in human design that my authority is emotional, and understanding that I'm going to have waves of emotions was a big piece for me, because before I would shame that, like, why am I feeling really good today and then I'm feeling really bad tomorrow? And so I remember it was something that we definitely worked through, because there'd be times where I almost went into like times of crisis where I was like, oh my God, I'm like in so much emotion, I don't know what to do. And I realized that there was not really anything to do. Like, it was this, I need to get out of this, I need to get out of this low vibe energy. And the biggest piece was realizing that I just needed to move through it. And just as everything goes up, it must come down. And so everything's going to neutralize again, and it's okay. And I think with having an emotional authority, it's 11-11, emotional authority, if you actually allow yourself to ride through the waves of emotions, that's when you can come to a neutral place. And really that's when the clarity comes through. So having an emotional authority as well, I don't make decisions out of emotions. So it's really starting to catch yourself when you're in the emotion and going, okay, like right now is not the time to send the text, or right now is not the time to make any decisions. Right now is just a time to, if I have the space, to connect in with my body, seeing how I'm really, really feeling, or do some sort of movement practice, or just get outside, just go outside in nature and have a walk and let myself neutralize before I then make any decisions, because I think that's when we kind of explode, or when we try to suppress those emotions, eventually they come up anyway. So I think the biggest journey is realizing is that we cannot suppress those emotions. It might work for a while, but it's not, again, sustainable, and it's going to come up eventually. So it's really realizing that when we get these beautiful emotions, okay, how can we look at what's going on right now rather than trying to shame that part of ourselves? And I feel like women have a big challenge with emotions, because we've always been seen as too emotional.
It's very much that mantra, like, what you resist persists, you know, especially with your emotions. And it's like, the irony is, like, when you just allow yourself to be sad, like, it goes away much quicker than you being like, I don't want to feel sad. And we see emotions as such a negative thing, but it's so beautiful because that's how we feel. Like, the greatest books we read or the things we watch on TV, they are born from like emotions. And in human design, like, emotions are very much linked to like creativity. Like, that melancholy really activates like this creative space within us. And I think what you really, you know, touched on as well, it's like, it's better to respond, not to react. And I think we do that with our emotions. And we also do it mentally. Like we said, like, we have this thought like, oh, it must be true, I've got to like act on this, and like feeling that, like, that's not the case at all. And so, you know, when you see clients, and what do you think like is the biggest challenge in terms of like self-love, self-worth and self-trust that you've been seeing lately?
I feel like a piece that kind of I've noticed coming through very recently, because I did do a self-worth masterclass, is this fear of speaking our emotions or our feelings that are negative or to people, to coaches or just to friends or all these sorts of things. And I think there's definitely the fine line of, you know, whether you're sort of trauma bonding and you're kind of escalating the problems. But whereas if there's a safe space where you can write it, or even just writing it down in your journal. And what I've noticed in a couple of conversations that I've had with women is they're like, I don't want to write anything negative in my journal, because then it's going to manifest.
Yeah. Misconception. Yeah. Biggest misconception.
I'm like, but if you're not processing that, then you're not able to, like, limiting beliefs. Last night I said to my clients in my group call, I was like, we need to write those limiting beliefs down, because then we can be aware of them and then we can change them. And they're like, oh, we thought that we couldn't talk about our limiting beliefs and we just had to push them away. But so I feel like when it comes to having, yeah, self-worth and self-love and self-trust with ourselves, that's when we can start to actually lovingly go, oh, this is the piece of me that I'm not quite happy with. And I'm going to look at this piece with no shame and with so much love for myself that it's actually okay for me to change that. When we give ourselves the permission to be aware of what it is that we're moving through, and then that's when the change comes in. So yeah, self-worth, I think, is a big one where it comes through. And this is the thing, like, people get self-worth and self-esteem confused, and like self-esteem is like really more a bit external. You know, you can go get your hair done and it sort of boosts your self-esteem, whereas your self-worth is very internal. And so again, they all interconnect because it's the self-worth piece is so internal, and your intuition is internal, and your self-love and your self-trust. So it's finding those ways that you can give those things to yourself. And I think being supported is a huge piece. But again, with these pieces, is this people not allowing themselves to receive. And this was a big piece that you and I worked through, is that I did not allow myself to receive anything. It was almost like I would repulse people from me, or like repel people from me, because it was like, no, I'm not going to receive what you're trying to give me. And the biggest piece was me for me is like giving, like actually receiving from myself first. So giving myself like a massage or some self-touch, or having a nice bath and like letting myself receive all of me, or even letting myself receive all of my emotions as well, even if they felt like a lot to handle, like being okay with that. And that really started to strengthen my self-worth, because it was kind of like, you just keep your side of the street clean, like you kind of stop looking outside of yourself. And
I think what's really stood out from our conversation is this concept of inner beauty. And that's why I love life and human design, because you can kind of see like you as a beauty therapist and then now learning to help people like with their inner beauty, that emotional authority and what happened with your dad and like the upbringing of this masculine energy and being but actually being more emotional and then like your son having that. So it's almost like life's every pulling everything together to help you grow and to help you learn as well.
And my biggest thing is sharing my truth, which is in my human design chart too, is that's one of the ways that I'm here to speak, is through my truth and share my story, because by sharing that, it actually shows people that I'm human too, and that I've been through challenges. And what I want people to know is, even if you've been through major challenges in your life, it's never too late to change. It's never too late to allow yourself to have more. And it's again, it's realizing like for so long I played almost the victim with my dad. It was like, he wasn't there for me. He didn't do this for me. And because of him, I'm like this. And what I realized was that I was giving my power away. And so what I had to do was forgive him, and I had to forgive myself as well.
And forgiving is so hard. And I
It
find
is
it
the hardest
interesting
thing.
because your human design energy is about like one of the main ones is like mindfulness, like being in the present moment. So it's like you almost have to kind of replicate. And this conversation is very much about like integrating, like acknowledging your shortcomings, mistakes, and flaws. Like that doesn't mean you're bad. Like that means you're human and you like we're allowed to talk about that to have this holistic thing, because otherwise we almost condition ourselves that we'll only be loved when we're perfect and we're like happy all of the time, which is not true at all.
And so I think the biggest piece is when you can start to show yourself love first, then you kind of stop caring about looking outside of yourself for where you can receive that love. Because that was a huge piece for me. It was like, if I'm in a really vulnerable state and I dramatize it even more, then I'll receive love, because that's how I received love as a child. And so then we get to sort of notice those patterns in ourselves that we're then bringing into our adult lives. It's like, when I'd go through a situation, even though I knew that I could move through it, it's like I wanted to keep myself in that space, because then I knew that the love was going to come. The, oh, poor Sammy, like, are you okay? Like, do you want me to do something for you? And again, it was almost this like emotional manipulation of how I could get people to give me the love that I needed. And it served me for so long until I realized that my needs weren't actually being met in the way that I wanted them to. Whereas it's different now, and especially being more in your feminine, it's actually asking for what I want. Like, I really I'm going through this right now. I'd love if you could support me by just giving me a hug. Or, we feel like it's actually not okay to ask for what we need, but then we get mad at people when they don't give us exactly what we want.
Yeah, because people can't read our minds. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with asking. Like, if somebody says no, like, that's okay. And I think that's something for people to learn with like emotions and people pleasing. Like, we're not responsible for how somebody else reacts. Like, they've got a whole different upbringing and life, and how they react is a reflection of them, and how, like, you know, we keep our side of the street clean and we're like responsible for what we're feeling, you know? And I think that kind of dispersion with emotional responsibility, but I think like also it's this like self-leadership and self-responsibility. Like, we also grow up thinking like only other people can meet our needs, but it's also like, what about ourselves? And whether we have children or not, like, we're always going to have to reparent our inner child. Like, I always say to people, like, it's not your fault the way that you were raised, but it is your responsibility to heal and move forward. And I think that, you know, when you're in the thick of it, it can be really triggering and you do feel like a victim. But then when you can step into it and feel really empowered, like, hey, like, I can give myself the love that I didn't get from my parents. Like, I can teach myself. And then if I have children or mentor other people, like, I can pass that down too. You know, we don't just, like, I think that's a big misconception that we're always just passing down like karma and like trauma, but we also can pass down healing and break the chains for our family and our lineage.
Yeah. And I love break the chain, because that is my biggest, it's almost like my why, like why I keep doing this, because I feel like I'm here to change that. I come from an, and like my ancestors all actually had like hysterectomies, and so they had no connection to their womb space. And so for me, I feel like I'm here to change that. I'm here to change the lineage and what we, like, again, we don't realize how much power we have, because if we start making these improvements on ourselves, it creates a ripple effect, not just for like our generation, but generations to come after us. And so I, again, even like the whole purpose piece, I feel like we're looking for this purpose of the job or, you know, being this certain person. But what if our purpose was to just be us and be like authentically us, and to be able to allow ourselves to be human, and to also, I like, because I love your book, like The Great Unlearning, because that's what we're really doing, is we're actually just unlearning and shedding all the parts of us that aren't truly us, the parts that have been conditioned upon us. And that's what this journey really about is. It's not about becoming someone. It's not about becoming someone else. It's about us just seeing our truth. And that's what I love about human design as well.
Yeah. Like the
actually goes, you're so unique and you're so beautiful in who you are.
Yeah. It's like the unbecoming and the deconditioning and getting rid of all the layers that what you think you should be and how you should be. I mean, you like perfectly segued it for me. So I'm glad, because at the end of every podcast, I ask people some questions. And the first one, because of the book that I have, The Great Unlearning, I ask people, what is your greatest unlearning? So what is yours, Sammy?
My greatest unlearning.
It's a big question, because I think we have to unlearn a lot of things. So maybe one that kind of sticks out to you.
I think it's actually just, it kind of comes back to that shedding piece, like actually just allowing myself to shed the layers, like giving myself the permission to be okay with not being who people might have expected me to be. And I think that's a big piece that I've always worked through, is this not ever wanting to be too much. And what I've had to unlearn is that the expectations that were put upon me as to who I should be are not actually my expectations of myself, and that they're something outside of me. So again, it's like really this internal work of coming home to who I truly want to be. And that might not be for everyone as well. And that being okay with that as well, being okay with the fact that I'm not going to be for every, like be for everyone. And it doesn't mean anything about me if I'm not.
Oh yeah. That is so powerful. Cause I think that's what happens to us. Like, you see children are so happy and innocent cause they just want to be themselves. And then as we get older, we have expectations, projections of other people, how they want us to be. So I think that's a really beautiful unlearning. The second question I ask people is, what was the last thing you Googled? If you either have your phone there with you, or can you remember off the top of your head? A bit of like a random one. I think some people get really anxious when I ask them, but I'm like, it's just curious. Like, what was the last thing you Googled?
Look, I Google some weird stuff. But Oh, I was actually just Googling my online Coles order. Trying to figure out when my shopping was coming. No.
It's
But
important. You need to eat.
There you
And what has been the best piece of advice or quote that's changed your life or had a big impact on your life?
go. There's so many. Just trying to think of one off the top of my head. I'm trying to think of like a quote now. I don't know that it's necessarily a quote, but like what I'm hearing is that like there's no better you than you. And I feel like it's just, again, it's just being so okay with who you are. And when you can love all the parts of yourself, like, I don't know, you're just so unstoppable. Like nothing can stop you because you love all the pieces that other people might judge you for. If you love them so deeply, it's like you're just so unshakable and unstoppable. And it's going to be our own life.
Like being so comfortable in your own skin, comfortable in your emotions, comfortable in your heart, your gut, like that is really powerful. So, to kind of end this podcast, thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you
How
for
can
having
people
me.
find you and connect with you, Sammy?
So, if people want to connect with me, I have an Instagram account which is at I am Sammy Purdy. So you might be able to put it in the show notes, but the
I
spellings,
will.
yeah, you'll be able to put the spelling in as well. But that's currently the way to contact me. You can contact me through DM. I might get you to add my email if people want that as well. And then through that, if you're interested, you can come into my community page, which is called Her Evolution Community, which is on Facebook. Because yeah, leaning into that community aspect of my human design, I created this page. There's like 80 members now. So really celebrating that. And that's a place where I do like card pulls and lives and share all the information and wisdom. And then I also have a podcast, which is found on Spotify, which is called Her Evolution Podcast. So yeah, you can find me through those places as well.
I can't stop smiling. Thank you so much, Sammy, for being on the podcast. I will put all of the contact details in the show notes. Until next time, beautiful souls. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode, Beautiful Soul. And if you're interested in working with me, I offer one-to-one coaching as well as human design readings. For more information, visit my website, feedang.com, or message me on Instagram at TheFeedDang. I would love to hear from you. Until next time, beautiful soul.